This is the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast. This is your friend, Joey Salazar. And as always, it's a privilege to be able to connect with you through these different episodes. Whether you are new to this space or you've been with us for a while, hey, thanks so much for tuning in. And special shout out to all those who are sharing our content, who are telling their friends and family about our different episodes and also leaving us positive reviews. We have a review through iTunes from Vows Bites One, and she titled her comment, "Great Find," and simply said, "Joey gives great insight to leadership, is a wonderful speaker. I'm happy I stumbled on this podcast." Val, thanks so much for your kind words and encouragement. Again, we launched this to add value to your life, and so glad to hear that we are. Today, we want to get into our episode as soon as possible. We have a guest with us all the way from Elevation Church. Pastor Larry Bray serves as one of the pastors there, and we recently got connected online, and man, I learned so much, and I'm really glad, I'm really honored to be able to share this conversation with you guys. We had a chance to talk about life, ministry, and just everything in between. And so I know you're going to receive a lot from it. He's a father, husband, incredible leader. He's been with Elevation Church since the very beginning. He has served in different roles, different capacities. And man, the conversation is full of great wisdom. And so pull out something to write with. I know you're going to be blessed. Again, thanks for tuning in today, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Have a good one, everyone.
Well, hey, Pastor LB, how are you today?
It's a good day here in Charlotte, my friend. What's it looking like for you in Florida?
Oh my gosh, it's bright and sunny, and it's a good day to go to the beach.
When is it not a good day to go to the beach in Florida?
That's a great question. You're actually pretty right there. Yeah, we can pretty much go anytime we want.
I was born and raised in Minnesota, and so I didn't see the ocean till I was 25 years old.
Wow.
And first time I saw it, I freaked out. I was like a little kid, man. It was amazing.
That's so funny. Well, hey, I want to just thank you so much for being on today's podcast, this episode. It really does mean a lot. I know we haven't had the chance to meet in person before, but nonetheless, I just wanted to just let you know publicly that your ministry, your life, your church, Elevation Church, has really just inspired and encouraged me in different seasons of my life. And I just want to thank you. I know you are one of the founding families as well of the ministry there. And so anytime here in life, I think it just speaks to longevity, to just faithfulness and being planted. And I'm encouraged by that because I definitely desire to do the same. And so nonetheless, just thank you so much for being who you are and inspiring so many people with your life and ministry.
Man, I appreciate it. It's been an honor being a part of this ministry with Pastor Stephen for the past 16 and a half years. And it's really cool because I remember when we were starting, we were looking at ministries like Saddleback and North Point and these amazing ministries that had grown up, and we were looking at them and we were finding inspiration from the people who had gone before us. And when I was sitting in that seat 17 years ago, dreaming about what God could do, I never thought we'd be in a space that we could be that kind of encouragement for another ministry. Wow. And so it's really fun for us in ministry right now to know there's people listening to your podcast or watching one of our Elevation sermons that's going, maybe you could do that through us, God. You know, maybe you could do that in this part of the country or in my city. And so that's fun for us. That's something I didn't even dream about.
Wow.
Before we started the ministry, but now sitting in it today, it's a pretty neat experience.
That's amazing. And I just love your intentionality too on just developing other leaders as well. I've had a chance to listen to your messages in particular. I've heard other podcast episodes where you were a guest with Leading Second and other friends. And now your Zoom calls as well that have been such a blessing. So I love your intentionality and just thank you for your heart that is to develop other people around you as well.
Yeah, isn't that? I mean, I think that's one of the things I think God has tapped us on the shoulder to do. It's to raise up the next generation. It's Titus 2. It's the older one should teach the younger one. And there's so much wisdom and experience that you gain that God just doesn't want it to die with you. He wants it to be invested in the next generation and produce more fruit. And so, man, that's the calling on our life is to raise up this next generation. That's what we're supposed to do.
That's amazing. That's why we launched this podcast. You know, we want to add value to other people. And just thank you so much again for being on today's call. Yeah. This episode and this channel is all about leadership in general. And I like to start off with picking people's brains a little bit on just maybe their definition of leadership or their lens of how they would go to characterize that. So Pastor LB, when you think of, when you hear the word leadership, what kind of comes to mind when you hear that?
I love the question. There's so much in relationship that unless we have a common definition, we can't have unity.
Yes.
And so if you and I are going to be in relationship and we're talking about leadership or we're talking about these other things, here's a good buzzword that'll tie into it. Development. Mm. And so when someone comes along and says, LB, I want you to develop me. I got an image of what I think development is. But I need to start with saying, tell me what your definition of development is.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have a common definition, we'll probably one or both have a lot of frustration.
Wow.
And so with that word development, what I'm seeing a lot in the ministry that I get a chance to be a part of here in Elevation Church in Charlotte is I do a lot of staff development. I do a lot of staff coaching. But a lot of people, when they say, I want development, they'll walk and say, I want a class, I want a principal, I want a teaching. That's a definition of development. Mine is, I'm going to give you a demand because I'm very much a development on demand kind of teaching.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is I want to give you something that actually exceeds your capacity. And I want to coach you in what worked and what didn't, what broke, what survived. But it's got to be through a demand that's placed on you so that you can see what God placed within you.
That's so good.
But that's so, to me, when we talk about leadership, when we talk about development, these buzzwords to get thrown around, they're often disconnected from experience. As Jesus is teaching a parable, it was never devoid of experience. So as he's walking by the road and he sees a farmer casting seed, it makes sense for him to talk about the parable of the sower casting seed. It was experience connected to a principle.
Yeah.
When they're you know, going by the seashore and they're casting the net, and the kingdom of God is like, you know, a net that's cast and drags people in. So there's always an experience and a principle with it. But think about the demand, the development on demand for a second. Jesus takes his disciples across the river or across the lake. John the Baptist had just been beheaded. They're exhausted. They're overwhelmed, the disciples are. And they're tired and they're hungry. And Jesus says, come with me and you'll get rest. So they had a definition of what rest was. Jesus had a very different definition of what rest was, because when they got to the other side of the lake, 10,000 men plus women and children sitting there, and Jesus begins to teach them. They're tired, they're exhausted, they're hungry, they want rest. Jesus starts teaching and then he looks to them, he says, and now you feed them.
Wow.
I thought we were going to get rest, Jesus. And Jesus responds back, not literally, because he didn't say this, but here's the application part of it. This is rest.
Yeah.
None of us would have connected rest with going and serving 10,000 men plus women and children.
Wow.
So there's something in the currency of the kingdom that's very different than the money we exchange in our society. As Jesus said, I'm going to give you some rest, boys. Oh, I'm going to kick back and we're going to have some R&R. Nope. You're going to feed people. The very thing you don't have is what you're called to give.
Wow.
That's development on demand. I'm going to place a demand on you that makes you feel like you don't have it. You can't meet it. But I'm going to get you to realize if I demanded it, it's an indication that I've already made the deposit within you. It's in you. It's in you.
It's already in you. That's yep. So good. You're already preaching. You're already teaching. I love that phrase right there, development on demand. And I wonder, what's that look like in your life? Could you point back to a moment to where maybe you were asked to do something? I know you've served in different capacities there yeah. at the church. And so what does that look like for you? Can you share a moment that maybe where, hey, you were asked to do something, you were serving in a yeah. role and it's just like, man, I don't know if I can do this, but man, you did it.
I got so many of those, man. I got in the 16 and a half years of our ministry, I've had 13 different job titles.
Wow.
And, And so we've lived in this space of, Pastor Stephen said this to me early in the ministry. He said, the greatest compliment I can give you is to demand more from you.
Wow.
It was so counterculture. So think about this. You know what it's like when you start a ministry, because the vision you commit to is the vision you serve.
Yes.
And often what you'll do is you'll take a senior leader who feels insecure and like they need help. And when I am in a space where I feel like I'm lacking, and I'm like, hey, Joey, I really need you. Now you feel like you're doing me a favor. And so now, Joey, you're not looking to me to develop me, for me to develop you. Mm-hmm. But I'm supposed to be your leader.
Yeah.
I think we've got order reversed so much in the kingdom because the senior leader is making themselves feel smaller because they don't feel like they have enough. And I need somebody to bring something to the table that I don't have.
Wow.
And so it's hard for me to demand something from you when I feel like you have something that actually I need. Wow. And so when Pastor Stephen said, the greatest compliment I can give you is to demand more from you, it's because he didn't need me. I needed to be a part of this ministry because I knew my development was connected to this house and this place.
Mm.
But we're living in a culture that a lot of people choose where they're going to serve or where they're going to be a church are going to be a part of or where they're going to come on stuff. Not because of development. It's often more because of finances. It's often more because of role or title. And so when the disciples heard that Jesus is, when Jesus is like, I'm going to go die. And they're like, where would we go? What would we do? Like, what are we supposed to do? But we created a ministry at Elevation that says, we're always going to create an unreasonable demand on you. And I've been put in so many places in this ministry that I remember once Pastor Stephen asked me to do something. I said, I don't think I can do that. And he looked at me and he said, well, I guess you'll have to, he'll have to know that I've got enough belief for both of us then. And if you don't believe you can do it.
Wow.
But he would also put me in places that it would expose my humanity and my limitations so that we could actually develop those pieces.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful. That's powerful. I think, I don't know why, but like the imagery that comes to mind is like somebody lifting weights. You know, you can be comfortable at a certain level, but if you want to get stronger, you know, you gotta lift more. Right. Yep. And I feel like that's what you're talking about. You're talking about, you know, being put in a position where, you know, you maybe you haven't been there before and you wonder if you want to encourage a listener or two who maybe finds himself right there right now. You know, they find themselves maybe in a place where they don't feel like they have the experience. They feel like they don't have the knowledge. They feel like maybe even recently, hey, they felt like giving up, you know, but that perspective, I think, I think that situation calls for a perspective change. Like both people can be in the same situation, but see it differently.
Totally.
And so how do we change that perspective? How can we be in that and be like, hey, you know what? This is for my good. You know what? This is my leader. She does love me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, Jesus said, you know, well, Paul writes Timothy, he said, anyone who follows Christ will suffer persecution.
Mm.
And so, but we expect to live life where we don't suffer persecution.
Wow.
And so it's this place of faith that the whole reason we're doing what we're doing is building faith and creating dependence upon Jesus. And the only way that you create dependence upon Christ is by putting yourself in places where you can't do it. Because if you can do it, you don't need God. If you can do it, you do not need Jesus.
That's right.
And most of us are praying for a world that keeps Jesus out of it. Because we want a place that really, if we're really honest, a lot of times is more about comfort and convenience.
Wow.
And we'll throw around the word calling. And you and I talked about this before we started recording this. We'll throw around the word calling. And it's so in vogue, calling. Running after my calling. How do I get my calling? And I love that. I think that's awesome. But I think we have made calling such an inferior word. Mm. Rather than a top shelf issue. Calling. We are called to give our lives to Jesus Christ. We are called to serve him. Now, if I stop my definition there, is that a pretty good calling?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But what we'll often reduce calling to is a career or a preference or a chosen position. Wow. I'm not saying those are bad definitions. I just realize that when I start worshiping a career, I'll often miss my calling.
Wow.
So go back to development on demand. Jesus shows up on the scene of Peter, and Jesus has an understanding of Peter's life from that point forward because he knows what's going to happen to him. But Peter's just a fisherman. He knows that Peter would preach on Pentecost one day. He knows it. He knows that Peter would also deny him. But where did the whole relationship begin? Jesus jumps in his boat and steals his boat. And then he looks at Peter and says, push me out. You want me to serve you by pushing you forward? I'm called to preach, or am I called to push?
Wow.
A lot of people want the preach calling, but they don't want the push calling.
Wow.
And it all began by Peter just being obedient and said, because you say so, I will. And he pushes him out. Then he makes Peter go out in the deep end to let down his nets. He'd been out all night fishing. Unreasonable demand. You fish at night, Jesus. You don't know what you're talking about. It's the middle of the day. But they caught such a large number of fish. Boat begins to sink and they push him in and he leaves it. And I wonder how many of us just want Jesus to fill our boat with what makes us happy rather than be committed to a calling to follow him.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Well, what would you say? I want to dive into that a little bit more. Again, that phrase, development on demand, when we're put in those situations, when we serve in those ministries, in those capacities, what's happening in the inside of us? Because I think leadership, you know, before we can lead others effectively, I think we've got to be able to lead ourselves well. I believe that, I mean, we're obviously never going to be perfect, anything like that, but God's got to do a work in us before he does it through us, right? So when we're put in those situations, what do you think is the goal of it? What have you seen in your life or in the lives of other leaders that you've been able to mentor? Like what is the change that is happening inside of our hearts when we're put in situations like that?
Yeah, I love your working definition of this whole idea of leadership. It's this idea of getting better. It's this idea of growing. And it's not about perfection, but it is about progress. And when we talk about development on demand, the context I like to use it is, if I'm working with you, Joey, I'm going to give you a project and it's going to probably be unreasonable. And now you and I are going to live life in such a way that you're going to allow me to see your beliefs and your behaviors. I want to see your attitudes, your beliefs, and your behaviors. And now as you engage in that project, we're going to do the deep work of the heart issue of what were you thinking when you did that? Because you've probably been thinking that your whole life.
Yeah.
So I want to correct your perspective from that standpoint. Now I want to get practical with it too. How did you spend your time? How do you know how to budget your time? There's so many people that are forfeiting opportunity because they're lacking responsibility.
Wow.
And when I'm not responsible, I'll never get more opportunity. But we live in a world that everybody's demanding more opportunity. But they're not growing in responsibility. And so development on demand is really about teaching you responsibility. That's the parable of the talents. You know, because the whole parable, one talent, two talents, and five talents, it's about accountability. Because he had to give an account for what he's doing. We live in a world that avoids accountability.
Wow.
And we'll blame. And there is a space to say, Joey, there is a space to help you understand why you do what you do, but I can't let it be an excuse for why you do what you do. That's the difference between accountability. Responsibility in the text. He was given one and he buried it. The two and the five, they went at once, put their master's money to work. Immediate obedience, responsibility. For you to grow in your responsibility creates a space for more opportunity. So to me, development on demand is I'm going to give you something, and what do you go do with it? And I love you enough to get in the deep end of it with you, and we break down the mindsets and the mechanics and the motivations, and we start breaking all that stuff down so that you can identify patterns of where you've been falling your whole life.
It's so good.
You produce those same patterns.
I love that. I love that word patterns.
Yeah.
Because you can learn a lot by listening to somebody. You can learn a lot by just watching how they do certain things. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes what you're just used to in the past or what's been done to you or what your experience, if not careful, you'll just continue to repeat that over and over again. And that's great for when, hey, you had a great example, when you had a great experience, but what if you didn't, right? And so I love that you're talking about this inner work that's happening in us when we're put in these situations. And I think, again, it calls for us to have a perspective change.
Totally.
Because it's not, again, your leader, my leader, they're not mad at us by requiring these things from us. Hey, they see something in us. There's an ultimate goal. I had a pastor at a former church let me know, just simply straight up say, hey, you're always going to have more on your plate than you can do so by yourself.
Yep.
And it's for the purpose of you growing and also developing teams.
Beautiful.
Right. And it was. And it helped me. It stretched me. I remember, you know, I was serving as a youth pastor at that time. And week one of my first requests was like, we had a weekly youth service. And he asked me for the schedule for the rest of the year. That was August. So the rest of the year of when was service, who was speaking, what was happening. And before that, I had never done anything like that.
Yep.
Before that, I had never been as organized. I hadn't really thought that far in advance. But again, it grew me and it stretched me. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Well, and that's the development on demand. He put something on you that you had never seen before. And it made you build something within you that you didn't even know you had.
Yeah.
That's development on demand. And so, but what I've also learned through the years of doing this, if I'm working with you, and I'm like, hey, I want you to develop a schedule through the end of the year. What I'm learning now at this season in ministry is not to make assumptions that you understand how to do it. And so what I would encourage leaders to do is if you give that person that first week, hey, build that schedule. I want to break down and say, tell me how you would go about building that.
Yeah.
Because I want to teach you not what to do. I want to teach you how to think. That's the greatest development. The development on demand is to teach your thinking. How do you see it? What do you think about it? What does it make you feel? That's the part. That's the development I really want to do. Isn't the execution, but it's the thinking. It's the awareness. That's really what I want to grow in.
Man, I really like that you mentioned that because they're coming to my mind now because thoughts absolutely matter.
Yes.
And I like that. I'll just give you an example. This past Sunday at our church, we had an opportunity to host a visiting church. They're going to be planting next year and they wanted to come to kind of just see our church and learn some things. But one of the things I told them right before they stepped out, it was a group, probably like a seven of them. I said, hey, for the record, what you see today didn't start like this. Like today we have a building, today we have lights, today we have a band, today we have a kid space. But when we first started in a high school, it did not look like this. it looked very different. I said, but what has remained the same are the principles.
There you go.
Of serving with excellence.
Excellent.
Hey, if we were in high school, we serve with excellence. And now that we have a building, it's the same thing. We continue to serve with excellence, you know, and we choose joy and all those, so many standards, but you're right. I think that one of the things I try to encourage other people is when it comes to like asking questions, especially like when you go to maybe visit another church or a conference, maybe it's not so much the how questions, how do you do this, but the why. Why do you serve like this? I remember a couple years ago, I had a chance to go visit Inside Elevation.
Yep.
And, you know, walking to any conference, you can, to be honest with you, our ministries were so different. It really wouldn't benefit me to be like, hey, how do you do this? Because our buildings look different and our teams look different. But if I can get the spirit of why do you guys serve with such excellence?
Very good.
Man, I remember we had such an incredible experience and it even happened in the parking lot. one of your team members out in the parking lot received us so well.
Yeah.
And it was cold. I remember when we went to go visit, it was cold, but they had the best attitude. Oh, man, they made us feel so welcome, and we hadn't even walked into the building.
Love it.
And I'm like, we need that. You know what I'm saying? And so how do we develop that mindset? Yeah. How do we develop that to not just ask the how, but like the why principle questions?
Love it. You've heard this. The way you practice is the way you play. And I'm a believer of this, is the level you think at determines the level you lead. So this is a podcast about leadership. Practically, if I'm working with you, I'm going to pull out your schedule and say, show me how you schedule your day. Show me what you've done for the last week and the last month. I'm going to guess about 90% of everything you're doing is execution focused. And so you'll never rise to a different level of thinking when you're tied to a low level of execution.
No.
So if I want to elevate the height of your thinking, I've got to untether you from low level execution. So my first discipline with you is to make a list of everything you're doing. Now I need you to circle the things that only you can do. Everything else has got to have a name and a date next to it, because we're going to give things away so we can create capacity for space to think better. That right there, that exercise, most people will really struggle with it, because the sound of shallow leadership is it's just faster if I do it myself.
Wow.
And what will kill people's calling is them being tied to low-level execution. I'm not saying those things are beneath anybody. But what I am saying is the lowest thing you're tied to determines how high you can think. And so there's a very practical thing behind this. So I need to break down your calendar. But here's the reality. Most of ministry is this way. So you know what it's like when you start a ministry. You see somebody come along and you're like, man, look how hard they work. They bring like 3 t-shirts because they sweat through them. They're amazing. They're hard workers. So what's the value there? It's on hard work. But now after a month of them working hard, you're like, you're going to make them be the leader. Well, you come back a month later, they're doing the thing by themselves because they pissed everybody else off and run them away.
Yeah.
Because hard work is a wonderful value. Celebrate it, but don't elevate. Because leadership is not about execution. Leadership is about thinking. So when we go back to our common definition of leadership, what is leadership? If we think it's about executing a task, that becomes the model that you replicate in your whole ministry. And now the greatest value people can bring is execution and just working hard. And we're hard workers. But the type of work you do has got to shift from your hands to your heart to your head.
I love that.
Most people are really going to struggle because there's a sense of worth that comes through accomplishment and checking things off my box. And if I don't do those things, Joey, who am I?
Man.
Yes, who am I? What is my identity? Welcome to development on demand.
That's powerful right there. That's so good. I'm curious, just practically speaking, when it comes to just scheduling, I'm huge on just time management and productivity and all that. And so I love you mentioned that right now. What are some of the things that maybe you do? Because to continue to ensure that, hey, you're growing, to ensure that, because I can imagine, you know, responsibilities multiplied and just family responsibilities, so many things. And we can see those of you guys at Elevation and be like, man, they've got to be super busy and stuff. But you're human too. You only have 24 hours too. And so what are the things that maybe you do practically as we begin to kind of wrap up the conversation today that you do to just continue growing yourself?
Well, I mean, busy is easy. Effective is hard.
Mm.
And everybody listening to this podcast is busy.
Yeah.
But are we being effective? Here's what I would say effective is. So if we go back to definition, I want to give my best energy to the church's biggest priority. So practically, 95%, 98% of the people listening to this podcast do not have a functional job description.
Wow.
How do you know if you're being successful if you don't know what you've been asked to do? You'll never be effective when you just feel like, I guess if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, they'll tell me. I guess if I'm not doing it right, they'll tell me. No, I want you to have pencil and paper, a job description that's written out based upon here are your buckets of priorities. Clarity and priority, two key words when we talk about development. Clarity, here's exactly what you've been asked to do. Buckets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, clarity. Priority, what percent of my time should be spent in that bucket? Should it be 50% of my time? Should it be 10% of my time? So if there's something that somebody's working for you that you say should take about 20% of their time, but after doing it a month, they're spending 50% of their time, either it's the wrong expectation or they've got to get better skill sets at it. Mm. So that's development on demand, because I want your best energy going to our biggest priority. And most people, when they're doing their job, don't have clarity. I kind of know what I'm supposed to do, but it's not really a priority. What's the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and how much should be in each of those buckets? That to me will help so many people be effective in what they've been called to do. And then when we get into this kind of work-life balance, how do I manage it all? I think the reason people get to burnout is because we don't have clarity about everything I've been asked to do.
Wow.
People say, I just have a hard time saying no. That's stupid. I don't believe that. I think you have a hard time prioritizing your life.
Wow.
I think you have a hard time asking for clarity. So now I'm going to put it on the person, say it is your responsibility to gain clarity. What have I been hired to do? Priority. Here's the ranked order. Here's the buckets for each. I add those up. It should be 110%. So now if I'm your supervisor and I come along to you, Joey, and I'm saying, hey, I need you to do this. Don't tell me no, because I'm your supervisor. But what you can say is pull out the job description and say, hey, where do you want it on the list? What percent should go to it? And where should I take time away from?
That's so good.
Because I need your help determining, putting my best energy to our biggest priority. And if that's a priority to my supervisor, my boss, it's a priority to me. Just help me know where I'm not giving priority to.
Wow.
So much of leadership gets into just ethereal things, but doesn't break it down to the practical application of it. I want to give you great principle, best energy to biggest priority. Awesome. Application, get a job description. And you look at it once a month with your supervisor, with your boss, and then you rewrite it once a quarter because it always changes.
Yes. Man, I love that. That is something practical. I think that's something that we can do just immediately. Even the earlier when you mentioned just writing down all the things that you do, but that you can also be delegated, even identifying that list right there. And so listeners, today you got some homework to do. We got some homework to do. And Pastor Albie, I just want to thank you for your time. Just I would love to have you maybe share any last words on your heart, but also pray for our listeners, for us today, who maybe, you know, they feel overwhelmed. They feel like they're in a place where maybe they've been tired, but that God would help us just not only strengthen us, but also realize that, hey, there's something growing on the inside of us. Hey, we've been placed at the ministry where we're at for purpose, on a reason, and that God's not done yet. And so to continue moving forward. And so Pastor Elby, anything you want to share with us?
Yeah. I think so many people are living at a point where they're exhausted. They're looking at life and say, I can't get it all done and I can't do it. And it makes them doubt whether or not they have the capacity, or maybe I just missed it, God, and I'm not supposed to do this. There's so much buyer's remorse when people start serving Christ. And they start wondering, Lord, did I miss it? Maybe I wasn't supposed to do this. And I think sometimes we'll excuse disobedience and it'll sound like, well, I just feel like the Lord's leading me a different direction. No, that's not it. So you suck. Stop it. You've done that for the last five churches you've been at. He's not leading you somewhere else.
Wow.
He's trying to chasten those he loves. So would you stop and listen to the loving voice of your Father chasing you and say, we need to deal with these issues. It has nothing to do with your role, your volunteer experience, your job. It has everything to do with the internal framework of your heart that's been fractured since you were 8 and you have never dealt with it. And wow. Now you're 38 and you're punishing your kids because of your disobedience. Stop it.
Wow.
And it can bring you to that place of feeling like, I can't do it all, God. And you're doubting, I guess I'm just don't have the capacity. It's not a capacity issue. It's a clarity issue. It's a priority issue. And faith doesn't mean you suffer in silence. Faith, that you mean, it means you believe that God's in it with you, but you do what he's asked you to do in the middle of it. So to humble yourself and say, supervisor, boss, I don't think I've ever asked you for a job description, and I think it would really help me understand your priorities so that I could give my best energy to it. There's so many practical things we can do with this, but it's so important that for those of us that claim the cause of Christ, realize that the way we operate is the way that our children follow. And I don't want to punish my kids because I don't deal with the issues that have been beneath the surface since I was a kid. And for those of you listening to this podcast right now, you didn't end up on it by mistake or by coincidence. You just happened to stumble across it. It's because God wanted to show you something.
Yeah.
He wanted you to hear something, that he loves you, that he's got plans for you. But you can grow. You can get better. You can move forward. And it's not just because you pray more. Yes, keep praying. But you also have to implement some practical things into your life. It's mm-hmm. both and. God is sovereign, and I have a responsibility. Where does his sovereignty end and my responsibility begin? I don't know. But I got to work like it's, I have all the responsibility, and pray like he's got all the sovereignty. It's both and. So what is God asking you to do today? What's the practical thing he's asking you to do today? And so, Father, I thank you for these men and women that are listening to this podcast. I pray that you would give them clarity in knowing that they're loved by you, clarity in knowing that what's happening around them does not determine who you are within them. I pray for a resolve and a determination. But I speak over them. Substance is only built through struggle. Mm. And the very thing they're going through is what will feed the community they're called to. May they not run from it because it's hard. May they not try to escape because it's overwhelming. But may they stand, hear your voice, and trust you with the results. Give them the courage to put into place conversations with their boss, with the people they lead. May it accelerate conversations. Things that would have taken months, do it in days, God. Do it in days. Yes. Accelerate. Yes. I pray against the lies that would try to make them feel like they're not good enough. It's not a capacity issue. I speak over them. It's not. You formed them, you fashioned them, and you put inside of them everything they need to accomplish everything you've called them to do. May they trust you. May they stand in their purpose to give you glory and see many call upon your name. Thank you, Father. We love you for this time today. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, thank you so much. That was so much wisdom wrapped up in an episode. I took tons of note. I know that our listeners did as well. Thank you for just all that you do for the kingdom. And for anybody who wants to continue to you, learn more about ministry resources, what are some of the best ways that people can follow you?
Yeah, easiest way is our church is elevationchurch.org. You'll find so many sermons and resources on there. And you could hop on Instagram. I'm LBREY. That's my Instagram handle. But yeah, love to be a resource to anybody we can help with.
That's awesome. Well, hey, thank you to all of you listening as well today. Thank you so much for your time. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in. For more information and additional resources, check out joeysalazar.org and follow him on Instagram at joeysalazar. Please feel free to rate, review, share, and subscribe. Once again, thank you so much for joining the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.